pictures come to mind during worship that kind of tie into, well, they do tie in to the word this morning. And do you remember how last Sunday we were praying for Vi and her new baby, Valor? I love that name, Valor. And so Nick was sharing with me this week that he loves to eat, right? So he's 1 week old today, and he doesn't really have an off button, or he hasn't really learned where his off button is. So he'll eat and eat and eat and eat and eat. And then when babies eat too much, what happens? They, you know, spit up or whatever. And then he'll be like, okay, more, more, more. So they're trying to help him kind of figure out that off button. And I just love that picture of, like, I just can't get enough. I want more. 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 And the other picture that came to mind was of my grandpa. And he walked with the Lord for over 60 years. He read and preached the word for the majority of that time. And when he got into his 70s and early 80s, he had Parkinson's. And one of the ways that it affected him was he lost a lot of muscle control, but even in his eyelids started to droop. And so it was hard for him to keep his eyes open and to read and things like that. And so one day I came over for coffee time, and I was going to go over for a visit, and I got so surprised because I walked in, and there's Grandpa with his eyelids scotch taped up like this. And so he was like, and I was like, hello, this is a new look, you know? And so he explained that he asked my grandma to literally tape his eyelids up so he could read the word. And he said, you know, the enemy would say to me, you've read it enough. You know it enough. You don't need to read it anymore. And this is the only time in my entire life I ever heard my very conservative grandfather say anything remotely Pentecostal. And he said, and I would say, away from me, Satan, there's always something to learn. There's always something new to discover in the word. And that just really hits hard, because I was thinking this morning of, I feel like maybe one of the invitations the Lord has for us as we think back on that word that he gave us at the end of last year about the feasting room being open is feasting on his word. And I think about how many times I've been content with like little crumbs, because, right, we have this perception in our mind of the word is boring, or it's dry, or it's irrelevant, or it's hard to understand, or whatever. And so I think that I have settled for crumbs, where I want to be more like baby Val, and I just want to eat and eat and eat and eat and eat until I just not stop, right? And be like my grandpa with my eyelids taped up so that I could still read the word, because there's always something more to learn. And so that's kind of the picture I want to go into this message with this morning. I really feel like the Lord has something to share with us about victory this morning, about gaining the victory. And so that makes me very excited. So I want to start off in Matthew chapter 4, and I'm just reading out of the NIV this morning. And I'm going to do this kind of in chunks, because this is a really familiar passage to a lot of us. And I have overlooked so many things in here many, many times. And this is, I want to put in a quick plug. I have discovered so much in online commentaries. They've been so helpful. And then the BibleProject.com. I love the Bible Project teachers. They're just phenomenal. They have a bunch of free Bible classes online, and they're just incredible. Okay, so Matthew chapter 4. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.'" Jesus answered him, "It is also written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. All right, so let's take this apart. We're going to look at each of the three temptations. And in each temptation, there was a challenge, there was an answer, and there's a takeaway for us. So in that first temptation, when Satan comes and he says, now remember Jesus, he's hungry, he's been fasting 40 days and 40 nights, and he's telling him, "If you're the Son of God, you can just get these stones to turn into bread." So the first thing he is doing is he's challenging God's sonship, right? If you're God's son, if you're the Son of God, prove it by using your gifts and your authority to meet your own needs. And what was Jesus' answer? "I'm trusting God to sustain me. I'm trusting God to provide for me." Why is that so hard for us to do? Whew. Especially, now it's hard for me to do when I have a full stomach. I can't imagine after 40 days and 40 nights and I'm just going to own it. Fasting is super hard for me. I get really excited if I can make it through like fasting a single meal. And it's like the biggest thing I've ever done in my life. And I get so happy. And then 40 days and 40 nights? No. But Jesus says, no, I don't need to prove nothing. I know who I am. And I'm going to trust my Father to sustain me and provide for me. So our takeaway from this one, the more we feast on God's word, the more we're like baby Val, the more that we just nurse and nurse and nurse and nurse and feast on his word, the more we read it and study it and meditate on the scriptures, the more deeply we'll be able to trust in him, because we'll see his story. We'll see how faithful he was. We'll see his character and his heartbeat. And it'll grow something in us. It'll grow our faith. And we'll be able to say, "I know him better. I can put my trust in him. If he sustained them then, he's going to sustain me now." The second temptation, I want to look at that one next. "Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple." Again, "If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it's written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you won't even strike your foot against a stone.'" This one is especially poignant to me. So the challenge here, again, if you're God's son, prove it. Prove that he loves and cares for you. Prove that he will keep you safe from all harm because you're his son. He wouldn't even want you to hurt your foot. What's coming for Jesus? Way more than a stone, right? Way more than a stone. Prove it. Prove your God loves you. Prove he'll protect you. Prove he'll keep you safe. And Jesus' answer was, "Don't test God by asking him to prove his love." Now, I want to back up 1 second to Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. "Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?' Jesus replied, 'Let it be so now. It's proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness.' Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment, heaven was opened. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my son,'" if you're the Son of God, "'this is my son, whom I love, and with him I am well pleased.' And the very next verse, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. What? I don't like this. I don't like this. I wonder so many times in my own life when I've had this wonderful encounter with the Lord where I feel his joy, I feel his love for me, I feel accepted and approved by him, right? And then the very next minute, it's like, what happened? Where are you? Where did you go? Did I make a mistake? Did I somehow lose your favor? Did you somehow stop loving me when I wasn't looking? Did I misunderstand something? Did I end up somewhere I wasn't supposed to be? Surely I'm not supposed to be in this wilderness. Surely I'm supposed to be back here where the heaven opened and where the Spirit descended like a dove and where you declared my sonship and your approval of me in front of a crowd. Man, that one gets me hard. It gets me hard. I have so been there. And you know what's crazy to me is that Jesus, I mean, just think about it. Like, in one verse, here he is, cool, refreshing waters of the Jordan. Now he's in a parched desert. Here he's surrounded with crowds. Here he's alone. Here he's got the Spirit descending on him like a dove, declaring his favor and goodness and sonship. Here he's being attacked and asked, are you the Son of God? Well, prove it. And the Spirit is leading him into this place. I would much rather have the Spirit descending on me, the heavens opened, versus being over here where the Spirit is leading me into this test and it feels like all of hell is opened. And in that place, Jesus is able to say, don't you dare test God's love for you. What more could he do? What more could he do to prove his love for us? Of course he loves us. We may not understand this place, but I know he loves me and I know I'm his son. The third temptation. Matthew chapter 4, verse 8. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you. Now, notice this time he doesn't say, if you're God's son. He doesn't even go there because of what's coming next. I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. All you have to do is bow down and worship me. Satan knew it would be blasphemous for the Son of God to worship the devil, so he doesn't even touch the sonship issue. He just goes right to the throat. And I thought, why is this one last? Of all of the temptations, why did he save this one for the very last, like, finale of temptations? And I think this one hits us all the time, too. God's destiny for us never looks like what we think it'll look like. And it usually takes very challenging paths. And how many times have you heard that little whisper, I have a better way. I have a faster way, an easier way, a more convenient way, a painless way. All you have to do is compromise a little bit. Maybe you can worship us both. And Jesus says, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. I'm going to trust that his plan, as gnarly and as crazy and as out there as it seems, is going to be better in the long run than any counterfeit destiny the liar can offer me. This is so big. I've never seen this before, guys. Like, it just is, man, back to the scotch-taped eyelids, right? Like, there's always something new to learn in his word. And I think that's why Jesus used the word to defeat the enemy. Now, here's some things that I want to take a closer look at, because it says here that Jesus was alone. He was alone in the desert. So how do we know that this happened? How do we have this account? Well, obviously, Jesus felt it was important to share with his disciples. It was one of his teachings. It was one of the things that he taught his disciples, and they passed it on in the gospel scriptures. So if Jesus felt it was important enough to include for his disciples, he knows it's important for us. Why? Because he knows we are going to be tested in these exact same ways. Are you the Son of God? Are you the daughter of God? Well, then prove it. Prove that he loves you. Prove that he cares about you. Why not just use your spiritual gifts and your authority to meet your own needs instead of waiting on him to do it? Why don't you just come over here and take my shortcut to your destiny? I can get you there. I can offer you everything that the Lord would offer you, just faster, quicker, easier. Liar, such a liar, such a liar. And these things work, right? They work, and he knows it. It's the only power he really has is deception. That really is the only power he has. And that's why the truth of the word is so important, because when we come back at him with the truth, lie, truth, lie, truth, lie, truth, what happens? Bye-bye. Bye, Felicia. He's gone, right? Like, he's out of there. And I feel like how precious of the Lord, how precious is our Jesus that once again, he would surrender himself to these series of testings because he knew we would need an example. He knew we would need to know there's a way through and there is a victory to be gained and that we don't just have to sit there and be overcome by deception. We don't have to become slaves to deception. We don't have to become stuck in it or captives to it. There is a way to freedom and a way to victory. And I just love that once again, he's giving us this example. And I was asking the Lord, like, why do you allow us to be tested? I don't like tests. I never did very well on tests in school. And it was so, I've never had this perspective on tests before ever. And I really believe that the Lord allows us to be tested to bring out the very best in us, to show us what we've got inside, to show us what we're capable of, to show us of, like, to build our faith with him. And when we go through tests corporately, I tell you what, there is nothing that will bind a group of people more than going through it together. And you guys know that better than anybody. When you go through hard stuff together, it just does something. It just does. It just binds you together. And then you have that common point to come back to and remind each other of, look what we made it through, right? He brought us through this. He's going to bring us through that and that and that and whatever else that comes together. He does it to show us the good, to bring out the good, to deepen our faith, to just deepen our just our belief in his goodness and love for us. Satan tempts us to bring out our worst, right? He wants to bring out doubt and skepticism and woe is me and self-pity and bitterness and disbelief. He wants to distance us from God and from each other. So we know that our perception of who we are and who the tester is critically important. Because if I have a test in front of me, I'm going through something really difficult, and I feel tempted to meet my own needs, or I feel tempted to doubt God's love for me, or I feel tempted to bypass God's plan in favor for an easier, faster, shorter, less painful, more convenient way, my perspective of God is going to determine my response. If I believe that God is for me, if I believe that he is good, if I believe that he is faithful, if I believe he will see me through the other side, I will stand firm against the temptation. If I start to entertain, like Nikki was saying, guard our hearts. If I start to entertain, you know what, God? If you loved me, if I was really your kid, you wouldn't put me in this place. So you must not love me very much after all, or you must not be powerful enough to bring me through, or whatever, right? And that will determine our response. That will distance us. And I just feel like, wow, these same temptations that Jesus faced in the desert all those years ago, 2,000 plus years ago, I mean, he's a loser for a reason. He ain't got nothing new. He's coming back with the same stuff again, 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 right? He is predictable. He is predictable and he is defeatable, people. And that is what is getting me so excited this morning, because I feel like, okay, he's given us the roadmap. He's going to come at us with this, this, and this. Boom. Okay, I know what to do. I know to come back with him with the truth. I know to come back to him and say, yes, I am God's child. Yes, he loves me and cares about me. And he doesn't have to prove it, because there's nothing more he could do to prove than he's already done. And I stand in victory as his child because I know that his word is true. Man, it's just so pivotal. And I feel like, you know, we're in this season where we talk about the feasting room being open and feasting on his word. And I just want us to carry that picture, because the more we dig into this word, the stronger our weapons become, right? And I joined this class at the end of December. I felt like the Lord just laid this on my heart. And I looked it up, and there's this thing in Freeport, progressive fighting. And Ben was all excited because he's doing the martial arts thing. And I said, if Ben's going, we're all going. Otherwise, we're going to just give up. I hate exercise. I hate it so much. So I signed up. Rob and Ben are doing the martial arts, you know, like, classes and learning all kinds of cool stuff. I signed up for women's kickboxing, and I've had two classes. My first class, I was utterly paralyzed. I am not kidding you, because the instructor said to us, at some point this spring, I'm going to take you all outside into one of the alleys or whatever downtown. I'm going to have men strategically placed from our other classes in the alleyways and around the street. You're going to just be walking down the street, and they're randomly going to reach out and try to grab you, try to attack you. You're not going to know who it is. You're not going to know when it's coming, because I want to give you that real world feeling, you know, like, so that you know what to do if that were to ever happen. He said that, and immediately, I just froze inside. And I panicked, and I got so terrified, and I wanted to puke, and I wanted to flee, and I wanted to bawl. And I came back from class, and Rob said, how did it go? And I just started bawling, and he said, these guys are gonna hit us. I was a mess. I was a complete and total mess. And he said to me, have you ever been attacked like that before? Bawled. Bawled, 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 bawled. Hear me on this. I've never been raped. Not like that. So not like that kind of an attack. But there have definitely been moments of attack, spiritual and physical, where I just freeze. And I know in my head what to do, but I just freeze. And that makes me feel so ashamed and so weak and pathetic and like I can't fight back. And so I prayed about it all week, and I went back on Saturday, yesterday, and I told the instructor, I said, I'm really scared about this test that's, you know, this thing that you're going to do to us in the spring. And he said, well, let's practice. And so then he walked me through some things, and so he's like, I want you to, you know, chop my arm like that. And then so I was like, he's like, no, I want you to really chop it. Boy, oh man, something just came alive inside of me and like woke up. And pretty soon I was like, choo, choo, choo. And then I was like, do it again, come at me again, go come at me again, choo, choo, choo. It was amazing, it was incredible. And then pretty soon it was, he's like, all right, now I'm gonna try to drag you across the room. And I was like, oh, just try it, just try it. And so he got up, and he got me a little ways, and then I was like, did the thing, and then I got free, and I felt so powerful. I felt so powerful, and then I ran home, and I told Rob, and I was like, come at me, come at me. And then he grabbed my jacket, and I was like, well, I didn't have a jacket on in class. Like, don't do the jacket. I haven't learned how to get out of that yet. But I was like, just grab my wrist. And so then he did that. And he's like, grab hard, grab hard. Chaw! You know, oh, it was the best feeling. And why in the world am I sharing this and this together? Because it just clicked. I told Rob, I was like, I know something happened. Like beast mode. I just went into beast mode and something just came alive. And I was like, oh, Lord, you are thawing the frozen. You're thawing the frozenness, and you are helping me reclaim my identity as a warrior, so that when attacks come, I don't freeze, I don't flee, I stand my ground and I fight, because I know who I am, I know my weapon, I know how to use my weapon, and I know who goes before me, and I know who fights for me, I know who strengthens me, I know who equips me, and I know who leads me on to victory. So there ain't nothing that can come at me that he is not equipped to help me defeat. Right? Man. I just want to release that over us today before we go and eat, before we go eat in the natural, right? And we're feasting in the natural. I want us to carry that picture of baby Val. Just like hungry, hungry hippo. Like, give me more, Mom. I'm so hungry. And then when I'm full, I'm just going to eat more and eat more. Like, picture us reading the Bible with our buffet pants on. You know, like, we just can't get enough. We can't get enough. And we just keep eating and eating and eating and eating because it's good. The Lord says, taste and see. Taste and see that he is good. Taste it. Taste it. Don't settle for a crumb. Taste it. Devour it. Meditate on it. Just savor it. Oh, study it and love it. Learn to love it. Because this is our greatest weapon against the enemy's only weapon. Right? Man, man. Lord, as we go today, I just ask that you would unfreeze our frozen responses. Lord God, that we wouldn't be fleeing from these tests, that we wouldn't freeze, but we would stand firm and fight with your truth and with our identity as your beloved kids. Lord, we don't need to ask you to prove nothing to us. Oh God, I just ask that you would release that trust in this body, that hunger for your word, Lord Jesus, that we would just eat and eat and eat, that we would always be looking for more in your word. Equip us, Lord God, that we would be a body of believers who feast on your word, who have sharp swords to fight back against the lies and the schemes of the enemy. In Jesus' name, amen.